I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, a large and extremely mysterious and romantic state at the bottom of the Arabian Peninsula. The state is 23 million. Sana'a, the large city, the capital, is said to be in the north, how you picture these things if you're in Yemen. The south is Aden, the port where the American warship Cole was attacked in October of 2000. Here, 11 years later, the apparent feud in Yemen is entirely in Sana'a, although there is outbreak of turmoil and confrontation and gunfire in major cities. Laura Kasanoff, reporting for the New York Times, is in Sana'a. She's been telling the story very carefully over these last weeks. I urge you to follow this because there are several factions that are critical. We're going to begin with a man named Major General Ali Mohsen Alamar, who the last time I checked was the commander of the 1st Armored Division, one of the most significant military units in Yemen. And General Alamar some time ago had made the decision to deploy his unit in Sana'a to protect the protesters, especially at the university, where there has been random and frequent violence, bloodshed, and open firing by the authorities against students. Laura, a very good evening, good morning to you. The gunfire at General Amar's headquarters within these last hours, what is the significance of that?
Yes. Well, it certainly was. It's significant because it was the first time that clashes have broken out between the two sides of the army, we'll say. There were different reports as to whether or not there was army who was on the side of President Saleh, who was involved in the clash, or whether it was just plain clothes men. But it certainly was a clash, whereas when the protesters are attacked, they're relatively peaceful. Sometimes they throw stones back or this sort of thing. But the worrying thing is, ever since now, I guess it's been almost 2 weeks, since General Ahmar announced that, you know, he was going to join the youth revolution and announced that his soldiers would protect the protesters, everyone was sort of worried about clashes between the two sides, between his side and army still loyal to Saleh. And that's what we were sort of worried about that happened. Started today. It was relatively minor. It wasn't huge. So that there were only, there were between, there's different reports. Some reports are two people were killed, some three. So it wasn't huge, but certainly it hopefully was an isolated incident and not something that we'll see more in the Capitol.
Can we confirm who the shooters were? You write that they drove by and opened fire on the headquarters. Were they identifiable? Was this the Republican Guards or someone wearing, say, civilian clothes to disguise who they are?
They're wearing civilian clothes. There were some reports that some unconfirmed reports that there were Republican Guards firing on the protesters. President Saleh's son is the commander of the Republican Guard. So obviously the Republican Guards are still loyal to President Saleh. That's unconfirmed who exactly were the people who were in cars who opened fire. It is unconfirmed at this time. We're not exactly sure. It wasn't obviously a clash between two sides of the army.
Right. Now, General Alamar remains defiant of Saleh. Is he capable of, can he move around the capital freely, or is he under threat?
Well, I think he can move around freely. A lot of these guys, anyway, even if there wasn't a political crisis, move around with bodyguards and maybe with other vehicles in front of them that are armed and this sort of thing. So that wouldn't be, I'm sure he could move around fine and but he would be moving around with armed men, but that's probably very, very normal for him. So far, that's fine. There also has been, I will say, there's been a little bit of talks about what's going to happen if Saleh goes, but the only way he'll go is if General Ahmar leaves the country as well, or whatever decided, essentially, that he doesn't take over. He doesn't have a leading position. This also would be pretty good in terms of the protest movement, because a lot of the protesters, while they're happy General Ahmar joined their side, they're not the most, he's not the most heroic figure for the protesters that some might think he is, just because he's been part of the Saleh regime. He's well known for being a very corrupt individual, and one of the main complaints of the protesters is against their government's corruption. So he certainly, and he has a lot of blood on his hands as well in this country as a commander in an area where the government was waging a war against its own populace. So he's not the most loved figure. So we're kind of hoping that, the thing is that when Salah leaves, General Ahmar will leave as well.
So he's not George Washington. Let's go to the violence reported in Taiz in the south of the country. This is an area that I'm told is heavily dominated by the Sunnis in Yemen, as opposed to the form of Shia who live in the north. What is the significance of the gunfire that you write about, the anti-government demonstration in Taiz?
Yes, that's right. So Taiz is a city in central Yemen. It is known for having a very educated population. It's known for having a very peaceful population, as opposed to the northern tribes, which are occasionally engaged in violent tribal war. The tribal system sort of broke down in Taiz, in this area in central Yemen, a while ago, and education and civil society became more important. So Taiz is a very peaceful population. That said, the protest there has been, it's been very large. The people in Taiz are very politically active. Taiz has a history of being sort of a base where opposition political movements come out of. So the people there are very, very fiery, but they're peaceful, the protesters, but they certainly have a lot of energy in them. And it's been the largest protest continuously that's gone on since the political uprising began in Yemen. So in the past couple of days, we've seen the worst violence in Taiz than we've seen before. But this has happened when protesters started to march in the city and started to march actually on, government buildings from one area in the city to government buildings. And they've been met by police, and they've been met by plainclothes men who have fired upon them. And the significance in this as well is that it's actual security forces who are firing at the protesters in Taiz. It's not just plainclothes men, which tends to be the case, which has been the case almost 100% so far in the capital. But in Taiz, it's according to many accounts, with security forces who are firing at people. It's just it's hard to get information out of Taiz as well because there really aren't any journalists in Taiz. There's Al Jazeera isn't in Taiz, so we can't watch videos from there. It's basically based off all of just, you know, amateur videos that people are taking. So it's certainly worrisome, the uptick in violence that's happened in Taiz in the past couple of days.
I'm speaking to Laura Kasanoff. She's in Sana'a, the capital of Yemen. She reports for the New York Times. Laura, you write that the Gulf Cooperation Council, the GCC, which is six nations dominated by Saudi Arabia and the Kingdom, have invited the opposition parties and the government for talks in Riyadh, and that Salah, I believe, the president, has welcomed the invitation. What is the opinion of the protesters you speak to about going to a sit-down, a compromise, a negotiation in Riyadh?
They would completely refuse that this would even be a possibility. They completely refuse having any sort of talks or negotiations or anything with the president. They say we've negotiated with him for 33 years, no more negotiations, we can't trust him, and this sort of thing. So this is sort of the problem in Yemen that the country is in right now. Signifies this impasse that we're in here because the president keeps saying let's negotiate and this sort of thing, let's figure out our way out, and the protesters say no way. And even through the negotiations that I have reported on and with my colleagues as well regarding sort of negotiating an early exit for the president, these are negotiations that aren't happening between the opposition and the president. Now they're happening with mediators between the two sides, but the two sides don't actually sit down together and discuss.
Laura, the United States, the last time we talked days ago, this is a moving story, the United States State Department spoke in support of President Salah as a longtime ally. Now I note in your most recent filing, Mark Toner, a spokesman for the State Department, has called the violence appalling, and there's been suggestion the State Department wants Salah to depart. Do we believe there's conversation between State and Salah in some way to move him on?
Yes. I think my colleague and I reported a couple of days ago, this is certainly a confirmed thing. There are negotiations in that way. From what we're hearing from our sources, the U.S. government right now has definitely that has been its stance. However, I think the change recently has been the urgency. actually. Well, that has been its stance for a while. The change is the urgency that it sees that it needs to happen as, you know, sooner rather than later. Because of the various political crises in the country, because of Yemen is going to face a looming economic crisis, that's, I mean, all indicators point to that. There's the local currency is dropping and food prices are rising, and it's already a desperately poor country.
Right.
So we sort of need to fix this political crisis right now and look at these other issues before the country falls apart. And I think that's the view of the U.S. as well at the moment. So, you know, that's certainly the view. They're not outwardly stating this. However, the press statements yesterday coming out of both the State Department and the White House were a little bit more leaning in this direction than they have been in the past. It was because there was horrible violence in Yemen that the actual army perpetrated against the peaceful protesters. And as well, there's a statement coming out of the White House that said that the U.S. supports the transition of power. However, it declined to, you know, comment on a timeline for this, because even the president has said openly that he'll step down by the end of this year.
Right.
But I think what's going on are people are trying to get him out of office a little bit.
Right.
Know, much sooner than the end of this year.
Right. We've got 8 months to run. Now back to General Ammar. General Ammar has a spokesperson. He represents the 1st Armored Division. They're deployed in Sana'a. Do we believe there's conversation between the State Department and General Ammar to be a transitional leader? Is he the next best step for the United States to move Saleh out?
No, I think that while I do believe that there are conversations going on between the U.S. and him, I don't think that that's where the conversations are leading, that it's not that no one wants. I don't think anyone sees that it would be a good idea for General Ammar to be to replace Saleh in a transitional government. Like I said before, the man has a lot of blood on his hands,
right.
And he has some ties to sort of some Islamist groups and more on the more conservative sides of things. So he's not a really appealing character by any stretch, but for anyone really. So I think, and he has stated publicly that he doesn't want a position, that he wants to get out of politics. But this is not, he's a military man and he doesn't want a political position. And he has stated this openly. So I think that the talks are not going in the direction that he would be some sort of transitional leader.
Is there a name then from all of this to go to for a strong man to replace Saleh?
Well, the opposition put out a proposal a few days ago that actually say that they want Saleh to hand over power to his vice president immediately, Abdul Rahman Hadi al-Mansour. So that is one option. And if you look in at the story that David Sanger and I wrote a couple days ago, a Yemeni official told me that idea of transferring the power to him is not in dispute. Transferring the power to the vice president is not in dispute. That's not in dispute when it comes to these negotiations for Saleh's removal. So that's certainly one option. There are some leading figures in the opposition as well who people say would make good prime ministers and this sort of thing. But I think right now the idea is to transfer to the vice president. However, I will say as well that the student protest movement has rejected this because they say that the vice president, you know, he was part of Saleh's regime, and thus they don't want him to be the leader of a transitional government. So we'll have to see where that goes, but that is a plan that the opposition put forward.
Laura Kasanoff, reporting for The New York Times from Sana'a, the capital of Yemen, 23 million people. The turmoil is part of the Arab Spring. Saleh remains in power. General Ammar remains encamped in Sana'a, surrounded by the 1st Armored Division. The Republican Guards, loyal to Saleh, remain in Sana'a. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show.